So move.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
So move. And adoption of, September, well, we've done that. We adopted the adoption of the minutes that we mailed out. All in favor?
Aye.
So move. We're gonna call on Nicole Simmons for the executive director report, replacing Mr. Gordon, who's not able to be here today.
Good morning, commissioners. Nice to see you all. I know we just had a commission meeting about 3 weeks ago, so the updates will be relatively brief, but it's amazing how much can actually happen in 3 weeks. One thing that happened is related to the proposed federal rule change on the charge. This is an issue that we've been updating you on, over the last several months. And last week, on October 10th, the Department of Homeland Security formally issued a proposed change in the federal register, which would expand the definition of what is considered to be public charge. As a reminder, public charge is a term in immigration law that refers to an individual who is likely to rely on government benefits as their main source of support. And being deemed a public charge can be considered a count against you, if you will, if an immigrant is trying to obtain legal permanent status here in the United States. Under current longstanding law, the only public benefits that counted as public charge were cash assistance, like TANF, SSI, general assistance, and long-term institutional care. But under the proposed rule change, many additional benefits, including SNAP nutrition assistance and Medicaid or Medi-Cal here in California, public housing assistance, Section 8 assistance would all be considered public charge as well. From a technical perspective, relatively few of our clients here in San Francisco would be impacted. I don't want to state a specific number, but we estimate in the hundreds, below hundreds. The greater fear, however, is that the proposed rule change will have a chilling effect. So many people hear about this, and due to confusion or misinformation or fear, will decide not to apply for benefits or even to withdraw from benefits that they are currently receiving. So that's a greater concern. San Francisco, as a community, has been very involved in vocally opposing this rule change. We are in what is known as a 60-day comment period, meaning that the proposed rule has been publicly posted. There are 60 days in which members of the public can comment, which we will be doing. We will be putting our opposition to this change in writing. And then after that 60-day period elapses, there's another couple of months during which the federal government has time to review all the proposed public comment and then issue its final rule. So I think the thing to emphasize is that for now, absolutely nothing has changed about immigrant eligibility for benefits. And even if these changes do go into effect, they will be prospective, not retroactive. So receiving benefits today will not count against anybody. And that's the message that we're trying to get out to the community. We're trying to educate our staff about this so that they are able to respond to client questions. And we've been partnering with community organizations, including Bay Area Legal Services, to provide a hotline that immigrants can call if they have questions and would like advice on their particular case. That has been the big news this month at the federal level. Shifting gears to the state level, I just want to update you briefly on three different pieces of legislation that were acted on by the governor since we last met. AB 2043 was a bill that CWPA was sponsoring that would have established a foster youth coordinated response system. This was basically to be a 24/7 hotline that foster youth or their caregivers or families could call at a time of crisis, and they would get immediate response. In some cases, having a global team dispatched to help them weather that crisis. Unfortunately, that bill was vetoed by the governor, who felt that because it had significant general fund cost, it should really be addressed through the budget process and not the legislative process. So 3 was signed by the governor. This was the bill that was also CWPA sponsored that creates a trauma-informed system of care for foster youth. And what it really does, it requires more formal partnerships at the state and the local level, codified in MOUs that require better coordination of services between foster care system and behavioral health practitioners to coordinate services for youth who experience severe trauma. So we're pleased that that one passed. And then last but not least, SB 918 was also signed into law. This was not a CWDA bill, but it was authored by Scott Wiener, who represents San Francisco. It was called the Homeless Youth Act. And what this bill does is it really directs the state's Homeless Coordinating and Financing Council to establish specific goals for preventing youth homelessness. And in particular, the bill calls out the requirement to establish goals to prevent youth homelessness for former and current foster youth, as well as youth in the juvenile probation system. So we're supportive of that, and I'm sure we'll be partnering with our local Department of Homelessness to gather the required data and report that to the state. Last bit of news on the legislative front is that we are preparing for a new legislative season to start in January at the state level. San Francisco has submitted a few proposals to CWDA to consider as bills for next year. CWDA is still in the process of vetting county proposals, and we'll know more in a month or two about which of those they're going to move forward on. The suggestions that we put forward have primarily to do with helping homeless individuals more easily access and maintain Medi-Cal health coverage. Moving now to some updates at the city level. Mayor Reed announced 2 new youth initiatives this month. The first is a youth workforce development initiative that aims to create about 3,000 new summer youth jobs and internship opportunities. The lead department on implementing that will be the Office of Economic and Workforce Development and the Department of Children, Youth, and Families. But we have already reached out to those lead agencies to make sure that disadvantaged youth who are served by HSA programs can also take advantage of those opportunities. So we'll be entering into a referral partnership. And then secondly, the mayor launched the Rising Up campaign, which is a new public-private partnership that is seeking to cut youth homelessness in San Francisco in half by the year 2022. This is, as I said, a public-private partnership. Both the city and the Tipping Point Foundation have put resources to this already, and they're seeking to raise another $20 million or so to achieve that 3-year goal. HSA will be a partner at that table as well, both as a referral source for homeless youth in our programs and also as a provider of employment services to homeless youth. The other big issue legislatively in front of the Board of Supervisors this month has been the minimum compensation ordinance. This is the city law that requires that city contractors pay a minimum wage rate to all of its employees that is higher than the citywide local wage. This legislation also impacts in-home supportive services providers who are deemed to be city contractors under the MCO ordinance, as well as all HSA contractors. But this is just a proposal at the board right now. It has a price tag of about $27 million a year, including nearly $11 million in the current year, without really an identified funding source. And so that's been a big source of discussion, and that discussion will be continuing at the full Board of Supervisors later this month. Budget update. Earlier this month, we submitted a supplemental budget request to the mayor's office that seeks approval of additional funding and position authority to implement 2 new state initiatives. The first is the CalWORKs Home Visiting Initiative, which will provide state funding to deliver evidence-based home visiting services to CalWORKs families, much as we are already doing through our local Project 500 initiative. The new state funds will allow us to expand services to 80 additional families. And then the second element of the budget request seeks additional CalFresh eligibility workers to handle the anticipated growth in that caseload due to a state policy change that will make elderly and disabled recipients of SSI eligible for CalFresh We'll be working with the mayor's budget office to get those proposals through the board of supervisors as soon as possible so that we can begin hiring those new positions and be ready to implement by June. Another good bit of news on the funding front. San Francisco sought an additional nearly $1 million for its CalWORKs housing support program. New state funding was made available this year by the state legislature, and we just got word this week that we were awarded those additional dollars. So that's great news. We will be able to serve this fiscal year with the new funding and our base funding about 110 additional families who will be rehoused through that program, in addition to the 115 or so who we are currently supporting with rent subsidies. Public service announcement that we are, as of this week, in the Covered California enrollment and renewal period. Covered California, as a reminder, is the state's health care exchange that was established through the Affordable Care Act. So Medi-Cal enrollment is conducted on a continuous basis all year long, but open enrollment for the exchange is limited to October 15th through January 15th. And so we always see a big surge in applicants during that time period. So our Medi-Cal staff will be assisting applicants with their enrollment renewals and selection during the next 3 months. Program updates. Family and Children's Services is continuing to work with staff, community partners, and HR to plan for the eventual closure of the Child Protection Center. We've received bids from our community partners to provide a new model for emergency child placement. And we have adjusted our timeline for moving to that new model a little bit. We had originally anticipated closing the CPC at the beginning of the year, but we've now moved that out to mid-2019 to make sure that we have a deliberate, effective process and that we have everything in place in order to make that transition. We are also, just as an update, doing our interviews for our child welfare director position this week, so hope to have an announcement on that soon. And along similar lines, I just wanted to let folks know that we do not yet have a mayor's appointment for the fifth seat on this commission. We did submit a letter to the mayor, signed by President Khan, requesting that that seat be filled as soon as possible, and we will continue to work with the mayor's office in hopes that happens quickly. Happy to take any questions that you might have, commissioners.
Any questions? Well, I am pleased to announce that a team of 10 employees this month are going to get our Employee of the Month. Congratulations. I may need some help with pronouncing the names, but I'm going to try it. Shalise Bill, people over here. Jerry Chang, George Fionn, Natasha Uyaja-Yava, Eddie Lee, I'm glad I got that one. Melvin Martinez, Triana McQueen, Rodney Powell, Jose Rivas, and Nick Sculte. These people are with the Human Service Agency utility crew facilities. The utility crew is always striving to put its best foot forward as a group that works to provide the best customer experience possible. It also does a tremendous volume of work. Last year, the utility crew completed 2,383 work requests, including moving staff, installing ergonomic equipment, mounting TVs, and configuring rooms like the Warren Auditorium for events and other activities. In addition to the team putting in hard work across the board, the utility crew has created a wonderful workplace. You could say that morale is high, but that is too plain a statement for the kind of work environment this group has created. It would be a rare occurrence to visit the facility team first mentality was especially apparent in nominating employee of the month. After Melvin Martinez found out that all his coworkers were writing letters nominating him for the employee of the month, he insisted that the entire team be nominated together. Melvin's explanation was simple. None of them can do their job without the help of someone else. And if he's good at his job, he or she, it means everyone else is doing well too. We couldn't agree with Melvin more. The utility crew excels at their job and continues to ask where they can be helped next. Even if that means working on a weekend to get a project back on track or activating homeless shelters in the middle of a winter rainstorm. Thank you, utility crew. Your work is highly valued and greatly appreciated. It is with gratitude and great pride that the commission honors you and recognizes your service to the agency. Well,
Good morning, President Todd and Commissioners. My name is Andy Hegler. I'm the Program Monitor for the Refugee Benefits Linkages Contract. The Department of Human Services requests authorization to enter into a new grant with Viva Juntos to provide refugee benefits linkages for the period of October 1st, 2018 to September 30th, 2021 in the amount of $160,629 plus a 10% contingency for a total grant amount not to exceed $176,692. The purpose of the grant is to link refugees, asylees, and trafficking victims resettled in San Francisco and surrounding counties with local services and benefits that can improve their self-sufficiency. The current political climate has pushed refugees and other individuals with precarious residency status into a more vulnerable state, exacerbated by skyrocketing housing costs in San Francisco that we all know about. HSA seeks to link these individuals to available refugee and self-sufficiency resources and services available throughout San Francisco County. The grantee will identify eligible clients and make service and benefits referrals tailored to the client's needs. These services will include, but are not limited to, language education and vocational training programs offered by various agencies in the Bay Area. Clients will be also referred to HSA intake for screening and possible enrollment in RCA, which is Refugee Cash Assistance, CalWORKs, CalFresh, and or Medi-Cal. The grantee will connect this program's clients with workshops on social adjustment, cultural orientation, citizenship activities, and personal finance, among other services in the community. Grantee will perform a minimum of 20 benefits linkages events to connect with refugees, asylees, trafficking victims, and or individuals on special immigrant visas every month. Over an annual period, 45 individuals referred through benefits linkages will enroll into HSA services. I'm available to answer any questions regarding the services. We've got the whole Arquivos team here. Gladys Garcia, Director of Programs. Victor Magallanes, Outreach Services Case Manager, Gustavo Michon, Refugee Outreach Case Manager, Employment Specialist, and Andy, the Director of Programs Assistant, are all here.
Any questions?
Move approval of the new grant to Arriba Juntos.
Can I ask for a second?
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Thank you. So moved. On the agenda, we had a closed session scheduled, which has been canceled, so there's no public comment today, and the meeting is adjourned.
Yeah.